It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you once again for joining with me for It's a Good Life. Today we're going to look in John chapter 14. We look around us today and we suddenly realize that there's a lot of trouble in the world. But for the Christian, we should not have the troubled heart. Let me remind you to look at our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. Leave us a prayer request there. And you can also leave us answered prayers that you have had. We want to share that with we'd like for you to share that with us so we can rejoice with you. But we'd also like for you to go on there. You can find Bible study helps. You can find a place to email us. And let us know if you have recently trusted Christ as your Savior. We'd like to send you some Bible study helps that will help you to understand what has taken place in your life. And it will help you to grow as a Christian. It will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can write and ask for a free transcript of this program or go onto the website, lrwm.org, and you can download free transcripts of It's a Good Life. Now in John chapter 14 and verse 1 it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Now Jesus was speaking here to the disciples, and he understood that soon he would be sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. And he knew that he would be resurrected from the dead. He knew that he would raise up and go to be with the Father. But these people who were following him, they were still in the flesh, and they didn't understand everything about God, and you know, neither do I. I don't understand everything about God, and that may shock you, but if you'll suddenly realize, you don't know everything about God either. We can study and read the Word of God and gather all the information we can, but our finite minds cannot comprehend everything about God. Well, neither could these disciples discern everything about God or about Jesus at this point. And he knew that when he went to the cross, their hearts would be troubled. But notice in verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." This word "your" is personal. It's to them. Let not your heart, and it's to you. It's to me. Let not your heart be troubled. And the word "heart" there means the innermost being, that place within us that no one can explain except that we have that innermost being that can feel the presence of God. And it's through the presence of God by His Holy Spirit that He can lead us through these verses and help us to understand that we should not have a troubled heart today. Notice in verse 1 also it says, "Ye believe in God." Now this word "ye," he's speaking to a group here, Jesus is, and we see him speaking today to people. Many believe in God, but many do not believe in Jesus. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son. All three are one. Now, once again, I don't understand. I cannot comprehend everything about God. I cannot comprehend how there can be three in one, but I realize that there are. There is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of people who say, "I believe in God." They have a head knowledge. They do not have a heart knowledge. Remember back in verse 1 also, it says, your heart. Your heart, that's the innermost being. A lot of people have the head knowledge of God, but they don't have Jesus in their heart. They need to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart." They receive Him by faith. Believe. It says, "Believe also in me," in verse 1. Believe, that's having faith. And it says also, and that places Jesus on the same level as God the Father. Jesus said, we are to believe in Him as we believe in God the Father. Let not your heart be troubled. He goes on in verse 2 to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, he said there are many mansions already built in my Father's house, in other words. He goes on to say, if it were not so, I would have told you. Now, if there were no mansions, Jesus would have said so. He tells us there are now mansions in heaven prepared for others. You may have lost a loved one recently. You may have lost someone in the past, not so recent. But one day you want to see those people again. You want to see that loved one. Well, that person, according to Jesus here, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. This was written some 2,000 years ago. He was speaking some 2,000 years ago, right before he went to the cross. And he said right then there were mansions in his Father's house. Well, who are those mansions for? Those mansions were for those people who died believing that God is a rewarder for those people who diligently seek Him, who come to Him by faith. Those mansions are there for those saved people who have gone on before us. Those mansions are there. We look around and we see a loved one who suddenly passes away. And I believe we can look with confidence, knowing that as that person has passed away in the Lord Jesus Christ, that their mansion has been completed. They are now with God. They are now with Jesus, because Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. But notice what he says also in verse 2. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. This is assurance. This gives us the assurance that we can count on. We can count on the fact that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus said, I. He was leaving. He says, I go. Well, what will he do after he leaves? He's going to prepare a place for you. In verse 3 it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. After he goes and prepares a place for you, he will come to receive you, whether at death or his coming in the clouds. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, in other words, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Well, why do we have to die? Why do we have to be changed? Because verse 52 says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Verse 53 says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's the reason all people die. That's the outcome, that we must put on incorruption. The Bible says that for by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This body that we live in is sin. The body must die to put on incorruption. This body that we live in is corruptible. It's dying right now. So therefore, when we are placed in the ground, when we are raised, it's going to be raised. The body is incorruptible. If we go to meet the Lord in the air and we don't die and be placed in the ground, when we go to meet Him in the air, this body is going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Well, why is He preparing and why is He coming back? Verse 3 says that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, he's building and he's coming back so that he can be with you, and so you can be with him. In John 14 and verse 4 it says, and whither I go you know, and the way you know. And after this, almost immediately, old doubting Thomas comes along, and he says in verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, where did Jesus go? Acts chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he, that's Jesus, went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse 11 says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So where did he go? He went to heaven. He went back to God the Father. John 14:4 says, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, Thomas said, what is the way? How can we know the way? In John 14:6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way, Thomas. He is the only way. And how can we know the way today? In Romans 10:8 it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. How do we know the way? It's through the word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The living word, Jesus. The written word, the Bible. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why your heart should not be troubled today. Believe in Jesus. Believe in what he said in John 14. Believe him when he says in John 14:6, I am the way. He's the Savior. Believe him when he says in John 14:6, I am truth. Believe him when he says in John 14:6, I am life. Believe him when he says in John 14, I am God. You believe in God, believe also in me. And finally, you can have that untroubled heart today because you have asked Jesus into your heart. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right where you're at, why not bow your head right now and receive Jesus as your Savior? You don't have to be troubled today. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior today. If you'll pray a prayer like that, Jesus will save you because he loves you. He wants you to go to heaven because he's preparing a place for you if you will trust him as your Savior. Well, it's been good being with you today, and let me remind you to tune in at this same time next week when you'll hear me say, it is a good life. In the meantime, look at our website, lrwm.org. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.